your Bibles with me, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. As you're turning there, I did bring my wife with me this evening. Donna, we've been married 43 years. Working on 43? No, 42. We're on 42. We will be, no. Okay, all right. I just believe what she says. I'm originally from Georgia, so don't throw tomatoes at me just yet. We came after I finished seminary in 86. We came to Hope over in Tuscaloosa. Was there about 3 years. Went over to Five Points in Northport. And then I was there, 11 years or thereabouts, doing youth work. And then had my first pastorate in Duncanville, in the big city of Duncanville, down in the south of Tuscaloosa. And was there for about another 11, 12 years and went to East Gadsden Baptist Church out of Gadsden. And then the Lord had been placing upon my heart to look into doing a director of missions. And so I saw the ad. I didn't even know where Lamar County was. And so I had Philip Sloan responded to me, and we began to talk about it and had the opportunity. And lo and behold, we've been here 5 years ever since, and it is a good place to be. We live on Mount Hebron Road, and we have a beautiful sunset. Every sunset that comes down, we're able to see it and just rejoice on the place that we have. Four grandchildren, all four of them in Soligent School. If their last name Dickinson, just shake your head and say, "Oh, that's them Dickinson kids." But we appreciate them, love them. Donna goes to our membership is at Soligent. I go to the 8:30 service and usually visit another church after that. But Grandma takes the grandkids majority of the times. And where would we be without our grandparents and our grandmothers to do that? I've had the opportunity just this past Sunday was able to lead our youngest Finn to the Lord, and I led the other two. But who planted the seed? You know, thank goodness there's grandmothers that will make sure that their children, grandchildren, will go to church. And so we've had that opportunity, and we appreciate I appreciate her and what she does. If you will, have your Bibles, Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, being the servants of God experiencing God's call for our lives. As we look at this, now I use the King James Version. Now I will make reference to the New American or the NIV, whichever one, as we go along. But I will be looking at verses chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. This is the second vision that Ezekiel has in chapter 2, and it bleeds on into chapter 3, and we see the call that God has for him. Now I'll begin reading. It says in verse 1 of chapter 3, "Moreover, he," giving reference to the Lord God, "said unto me," he said unto the Son of Man. Now, it is mentioned 93 times in the book of Ezekiel, the Son of Man. It was to remind him of the humanity that he was and the dependency that he was to have upon God. Of course, we know that Jesus was referred to as the Son of Man. He was the one who came from heaven to reach man, but we find that Ezekiel was the Son of Man in the Old Testament, or to the people that he was prophesying. And look what God tells him to do. "Eat therefore, thou findest that is before you. Eat this roll," or what we're giving reference to is the scroll, "and go and speak to the house of Israel." And he said, "So I opened my mouth, and he calls me," the Lord God calls me, or he fed me, or he gave me to eat that scroll. "And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with the roll that I give to thee." And then we find that Ezekiel responds, "Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And the Lord God said unto me, Son of man, go get thee into the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech, or an unintelligent speech, and that of a hard language or a difficult language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange people, of a hard language, whose words thou cannot understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken, will not listen unto thee, for they will not listen unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent, and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their face, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. And as an adamant harder than flint, I have made thee forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at all of their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all of my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in your heart, hear with thy ears, and go and get thee to the captivity, to the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will not listen. Three truths that we're going to be looking at this evening is that we are to consume God's Word. Not only are we to consume God's Word, we're to be committed to the Word. And not only are we to be committed to the Word, we're to have confidence in God's Word, because God's Word gives us encouragement and strength to do that which is this. You know, as we look at this scripture, we find that Ezekiel is told to go to the people of Israel. But what God tells them is that they ain't going to listen to you. They ain't been listening to me, and they ain't going to listen to you. Now, how many of us want to do something that we're not going to be successful? How do we view success in our world today? We view our success by how much money we may make, or the positions of authority that we have, or the work that we are able to do, the recognition that we receive. Or if you can run a football down 100 yards without getting tackled and make a touchdown, you're being successful. That's how we view success in our world today. But that's not how God views success. We see God's telling him over and over and time again. He says, you're not going to be successful, but don't view success worldly. We view it how God views it, and it's out of obedience. If we want to be successful in life, then let's be obedient to what God tells us to do. Ezekiel's name means, I'm going to throw a good little bit at you. Ezekiel means God strengthened, God is strong, God makes hard. And he was preparing him for what he was going to do, for the encounters that he was going to have. He was a priest. He was a prophet. He was known as a Jewish street preacher. Now, they were in exile. They were still being in exile all of those years, and that he sent them to preach to those who were in captivity. Because why were they in captivity by the Babylonians? Because they'd been disobedient to God to begin with. And yet God still was showing grace and mercy. He was still delivering his word before them. And he said, Ezekiel, you're the one that I want you to go and do this. And I ask you this evening, are we being that one? Are we going to go where God is leading us? Or are we trying to talk ourselves out of it and saying, we listen to Satan. He says, you're not going to be successful. Are we going to be the consumers of God's Word? Are we going to be committed? And are we going to be confident in the Word? There's a prayer that I always pray before I preach. It's the prayer of submission by Charles Swindoll. It goes, Lord, I'm willing to receive what you give, to lack with what you withhold, to relinquish what you take, to suffer what you inflict in order to be what you require. And Lord, if others are to be your messengers to me, I'm willing to hear and to heave to what they have to say. And so we say, let the ancient words impart. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you tonight, and I thank you for those who have made their way here. Father, who show their faithfulness and commitment unto you. And Lord, I pray that as this word goes forth, that we will receive what you want to give us. And Father, we know that some of those commandments that you have given us, some of those challenges that are before us, we may not want to do them. We may want to say, somebody else needs to go, somebody else needs to do it. No, we need to be the one, because you have called us out. Father, I pray that we'll listen to you, what your Spirit has to say to us, and that we'll follow the leadership of your Spirit in our lives to go to the place that you have prepared us to go. I pray for this church, that it will continue to go into this community, that it will continue to go into this county. Father, that it will continue to make a spiritual impact wherever they may go. Father, I lift them up before you In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. You know, as we serve, I'm sure that Ezekiel was wondering why God called him to go to a group of people, to his very own nationality, to his own people, like who he was. And then he reminds him and tells him, but they ain't going to listen to you, and they're not going to have anything of what you're to say, except what you're to say, but you're to go anyway. Back many years ago, when there was, during the old West times, and there was a preacher who felt compelled to go out west to preach a revival services to some churches out there. So he finally made it out to one of their churches, and on the first night of revival, he noticed that all the men came to the church that evening wearing their holsters and their revolvers in their holsters, kind of like open carry, and we do today. And so they had their holsters ready. It just kind of distracted him a little bit, but he got through, got to preaching, and got to continuing on. And when he finished up, his anxieties happened. He said several of the men approached him with their guns drawn. In panic, he turned to the chairman of the deacon, who happened to be standing next to him, and the deacon said to the preacher, "Don't worry, they're not after you. They want the guy who invited you to preach." You know, guys, there are going to be people who are not going to like what we may have to preach. They may not accept what we have to say. They may not like what we're saying. Not everybody's going to be interested to what we have to say, but are we still called to go? Absolutely, we're still called to go. We're still called to go. The bottom line, we're still to do what God is calling us to do. And to be servants of God, to experience God's calling upon our life, first of all, we're to be consumers of the Word of God. And when you look at the definition of consume, it means one who eats or uses something. And we see that in the vision that Ezekiel is having with God, God is calling Ezekiel to eat the scroll, to eat that which was put before him. And as Ezekiel says, and I love that part, it was as sweet as honey to him when he began to taste it. We find that we need to be consumers of God's Word. We need to have it and bring it into our heart. We need to digest it. We need to be confronted with God's Word. We need to have a spiritual appetite for God's Word. And we're losing the spiritual appetite, the spiritual craving. We can look at people around and there is no longer that desire. There's no longer that desire to get into God's Word. Thank goodness that there are churches, and thank goodness that there are preachers who are still preaching out of God's Word, and there are those who are listening to it. We need to be the people who will have a spiritual appetite for what God has to say for us. And we see two ways in which he was doing that. To be consumers, the audible Word of God. I don't know about you, but God quite frequently speaks to me. Sometimes I might not like what he has to say sometimes, but I need to listen to what he has to say. But he speaks to me from time to time in my life. I just be out of the blue, out of the clear, there's that voice, there's that I have ringing in my ear, but I know it's not the ringing. I hear God's voice telling me to do this or to do that. But we also find directions in his Word. We need to listen to the audible Word of God, God's Spirit, when it speaks to us. But we also need to see that when the Bible speaks, God speaks. And we find that in that we are to be consumers. To be consumers of the Word of God is to be able to hear what God has to say. When you look at verses 1 and 2, it says, "Moreover, the Lord God said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest that which is before you. Eat this scroll and go and speak to the house of Israel." Two simple commandments that he was giving him. As he confronted him, as this vision, this encounter that he was having, he tells him what to do. He says, "Eat the scroll, eat the roll that I have before you. And then as you digest it, go and speak to the people of Israel." Guys, this is what we're called to do is not as well. Are we not to call to digest God's Word and then we're to speak it? We're to share it with other people. We're not to keep it unto ourselves. Look what Ezekiel did in verse 2. "So I opened my mouth." Man, a lot of times when I open my mouth, I put my foot in my mouth. But we see that Ezekiel opened his mouth. And look at the Spirit. He said, "And he," who is he? It's the Lord God. And what did the Lord God do for him? He said, "He caused me to eat." In the New American, it says, "He fed me." In the NIV, he says, he gave me the scroll to eat. Boy, can you imagine the Lord God himself feeding Ezekiel? I have a hard time even imagining what that may look like or what that may experience that he was having upon his, the vision that he was having to know that God was feeding him. And so what are we to be? What did James warn us not to be? What did he tell us? Not only to be hearers. Man, sometimes we can hear pretty good. Sometimes we don't want to hear. But he says, be doers of the word. You know, so many times, we'll come to church, we'll sit in church, we'll hear it. We'll sort of kind of accept it if the preacher sugarcoats it enough. We may like what it has. And then he calls us not only to hear it, but to be doers. We find Ezekiel, what was Ezekiel doing? He was not only hearing, but God was preparing him to be a doer of God's word. And so we'll see what Ezekiel, he is digesting the word of God, both that he is hearing, what is God, that he is seeing, God calling him to do. And guys, we need to be sensitive to the spiritual feeding that God wants us to have. If we want to experience the spiritual encounters with God, then we need to have spiritual craving for God's word. We need to get into God's word. What is it that Paul told Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 16? What is the word of God? It is, the scripture is inspired by God. It is profitable for doctrine or for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly furnished into all good works. If we want to have a spiritual encounter, we want to be God's servant. We need to be consumers of God's word by receiving his word, but not only that, by accepting the spiritual nutrition that God wants to give us. You notice in verse 3, we find, "And the Lord God said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly, feed your stomach, and fill thy bowels, fill thy body with this scroll that I give to thee." And we find the obedience of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel says, "Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." We have a couple of beehives, or I have a couple of beehives. Donna doesn't go out to the beehives. She helps me feed the bees. She makes the stuff. But have you ever had honey straight from the beehive? Man, I tell you, you're talking about something that's good. And Donna makes rolls from time to time, and there ain't nothing better. Let me tell you, there ain't nothing better than to put some honey on those hot buttered rolls and to eat it, and it is sweet. It is delicious. Man, that is what Ezekiel was saying, that the word of God was sweet as honey. And it is sweet as honey. When we need direction in life, when we need comfort in life, when we need guidance in life, when we need someone to console us in life, and oh boy, we can turn to God's Word and we can find that comfort in God's Word. We can be thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life that gives us that comfort. We can be appreciative of that. But God's Word can be bitter, can it not? To those who not agree with it, when conviction comes, all of a sudden we don't know if God's words is all that sweet anymore. When we don't like what it says, it becomes bitter. When we refuse to accept what it has to say, when there is correction in there, when there's a standard for us to live by, and we refuse to accept it, what does it become? It becomes bitter. It becomes bitter to those who reject it, but to those who believe it, oh my goodness, it becomes sweet as honey. Man, I can look forward to eternal life because I know that I will be in the presence of the Lord. That's something sweet to look forward to. When there is no more pain, when there is no more suffering that it goes along between this life. And so that is, we can look forward toward the sweetness of God's Word, but we know that those who reject it, it is bitter. In Psalm 119, 103, it says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. To be consumers of the Word, we receive what God says, we accept His spiritual nutrition, and then secondly, we need to be committed to the Word. How are we to be committed to God's Word? By responding to God's invitation. He tells them who to speak to and what to speak. It's kind of funny, if you look at the last part of the verse of chapter 1 in the first verse of chapter 2, we find a spiritual encounter that Ezekiel had the vision with God. And when he sees it, he falls down on his feet. God had Ezekiel's attention. And then he said, stand up. And Ezekiel stood up. God got his attention. He was preparing him for the next part of his journey. So when you look at verse 4 and 5, the Lord God said to me, son of man, look at the first one. Go, get thee to the house of Israel. I mean, he was specific. He knew what he was supposed to do, where he was supposed, what it was supposed to be. Speak with my words unto them. Very clear. Not confusing at all. Go to the people of the house of Israel and then speak my words. He says in verse 5, for thou art not sent to the people of a strange speech or unintelligent language or a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Guys, who are we to go to? We're to go to our neighbors. We're going to the people in Lamar County. We're to go to those that we go to school with or those that we work with. We're our family, and some of the hardest people to go to is our family. Hey, you know, listen, I'm all for missions. I'm all for you say you want to go on a foreign mission trip, and I say, when do you want me to be packed? I mean, I love doing missions. I love being a part. I have opportunities to go to Haiti. Donna hates when the guy calls me and asks me if I want to go. She knows that conversation. She knows that I'm probably going to be gone for a week. And guys, we need to look. We got enough folks right here in our own county that we need to reach. We need to work toward. We need to speak to. And I ask you, who is God calling you to speak to? Who is He He's directing you to go to? Who is He calling you to speak that words of encouragement? It's not a difficult command to understand, is it? It's not a foreign mission calling. It's a local calling. And the Word tells us, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will come to you and will give you the words to say when you need them to recall it. We need to have our dependence. We need to be like Ezekiel. Son of man, we know of our humanity and we have complete dependence upon God. A servant of God is one who is committed to the Word by responding to the invitation, but also meeting God's expectation. You look at verse 6 and 7, he says, now to many people of a, not to the many people of a strange speech, unintelligent language, or foreign language, or hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto you. God's power. He said, if I had sent you to those people of a foreign language, they would have understood. I kind of reminded of Jonah. You know, Jonah didn't want to go to the people of Nineveh, did he? He tried every way he could to get out of that. And they probably all spoke the same language or could understand. He preached the shortest sermon recorded in the Scripture, and multitudes came unto the Lord. And he wasn't excited about it. God can do what He wants to do. He can do what He can. He is more powerful to him. He says in verse 7, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent, hard-hearted, stubborn. I look up the word impudent. It means not showing respect for another person. The people of Israel, God's own ones who had been called out, was not respecting God. They had turned their hearts away from God. They had become spiritually stubborn. And yet Ezekiel was called to go to those people. It's kind of ironic. God's instructions and command is that even if I sent you to another group of people, they would have listened. Jesus knew that experience. When He came out of Nazareth, why did they run Him off? They knew who He was. They knew His mother. They knew who his father was. And they would not accept Him. They knew too much of what they thought. They knew too much of Him. And he couldn't do anything there. Folks, there is spiritual rejection all around us, especially around people you think would know better. Yes, we're to be consumers of God's Word. We're to be committed to the Word of God. And we're to have confidence in God's Word. Why? Because God's Word will strengthen us. Look at verse 8 and 9. He says, "Behold, I have made thy face stronger against thy face, thy forehead stronger against their forehead." That's where Ezekiel gets his name from. He says, God is strong. God makes hard. He says, as an adamant, harder than flint. An adamant is something that is not breakable. It's unbreakable. "I have made thy forehead, fear them not." Now notice what he says, "Fear them not, neither be dismayed at all their looks." What does it mean? They're going to cut their eyes at you. They're going to joke with you. They're going to make fun of you. He says, "Though they be a rebellious house." What is God doing? He is preparing Ezekiel. Here's an old phrase that I use many times. God does not call the prepared. He prepares the call. Ezekiel was being prepared by God to do what he needed to do. And so how will God strengthen Ezekiel? By being stubborn, just as stubborn as much as they were, having that tough love and enduring faith. And just in the prayer that I shared with you, Charles Swindoll, "Lord, I'm willing to receive what you give." And I ask you this evening, are you willing to receive what God wants to give you? Are we willing to receive that strength? Are we willing to receive that command? Are we willing to receive what God wants to give us? Jesus spoke to his disciples in John 16, 33. "These things I have spoken to you. In me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world." Who are the ones who overcome the world? John tells us in 1 John 5, 5, those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We can have confidence in God's Word. We can have confidence and strength because it does strengthen us and it will encourage us. You look at verse 10 and 11. He says, "Moreover, Lord God said unto me, Son of man, all my words that shall speak unto thee, receive, accept in your heart, and hear with your ears." And then he tells him, "Go and get to them the captivity, those of an exile, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will not listen." Whether you'll be successful or not, go and speak to those people. For us to be servants of God, where does it have to begin? It begins in the heart. Where was Ezekiel to receive his word? It was to receive it in the heart. We're to hide God's word in our heart so that we may not sin against God. With God's word in his heart, he was willing to go and be submissive to God. And you look at verse 14. How did God get him to where he needed to be? It's kind of ironic. You look at verse 14. "So the Spirit lifted me up." It was like one of those moments. He was here and he was gone. And he says, "He lifted me up. He took me away." Now notice what we find. "And he said, I went in bitterness and heat of my spirit." Now it kind of sounds like Ezekiel was a little resentful. "Well, I don't really want to do this." No. He was knowing that the people were going to make it difficulty of the job that he was going to have to do. Have you ever dreaded doing something because you know the outcome of what it's going to be like? And you just kind of say, "Well, I just really don't want to do that." Well, that's kind of the attitude that Ezekiel was saying. "I really don't want to do that. I'm really dreading what's coming to me. But look, God is more powerful than we are," he says, "and in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me." That divine revelation overpowered Ezekiel's feelings, carried him to the place that he needed to be. Guys, there may be some assignments that God gives us that we may not want to do. We may not be too thrilled about it. May be a little hesitant to respond. But we know that we cannot give up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Which group are you a part of? Do we want to be on Ezekiel's side? Say, "I'm the one. I'll go, even though there's not a whole lot of success that is written at." Or are we the people of Israel? We're not listening. We're not accepting what God has to say. And we wonder why we're not experiencing the movement of God's Spirit. This evening, as we go to the time of prayer, maybe you've been wrestling with something. God's called you for a specific job to do, and you're just not clear about it, not certain. You need to come before the altar of God and pray. Maybe there's that individual upon your heart that God's telling you need to go to. You need to come and lift their name up before the Lord. Do we have the ears to hear what the Lord has to say to us today? I want to ask you to stand and close us in a time of prayer. Father God, we come before you. And Father, I thank you that we as a church have gathered together tonight. For some of us, it's been a rough week. We're kind of tired already. There's been some difficult moments that we have encountered. Things have not gone like what we hoped that they have gone. Father, you might have placed somebody on our heart tonight. And you're reminding us once again we need to go to them. Father, I pray that we will not leave this place without making a commitment before you. That whatever you're calling us to do, whatever you're calling this church to do, Father, that they will take the steps of faith and do it. Father, we pray for strength. We pray for encouragement. Give us what we need in order to do what you've calling us to do. Prepare us, Father. And I lift this up before Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said,